in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us to consider his holy and gracious word concerning his Son. And ask your prayerful attention by way of text to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Luke 1, verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Verses 78 and 79 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When we read of various prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, it is often in terms of light in a dark place. Something that shines in to give knowledge and understanding to the hearts and minds of sinful creatures such as we. This world is a dark place, isn't it? It's a sin-cursed earth. We look back to the time of creation, and the first thing that was spoken was, "Let there be light." There was light. And through the formation of that light, everything else then followed on. And so it is spiritually, in the darkness of sin, the darkness of Satan, that rules so much in day by day life upon this earth, and ruling in the hearts of sinners. Dear friends, there's the ignorance of that darkness, because only darkness is known at that time, until there's a new creation, a creation of the light, of the knowledge, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, without the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we shall only know darkness. And as Jesus said to those unbelieving Jews, if the light that is their own righteousness, their own beliefs, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Let there be light. And there was light. Now, in those days of creation, as you children in the Sunday school have been learning in some past weeks, there came that day when there was a great light made to shine upon this earth, for the daytime, to rule the day. And that great light was the sun. And when the sun shines, all the darkness has to go, doesn't it? You can't have the light of the sun and darkness at the same time. But God also made other lights. He made the moon. And he made the stars also. And those were lights to shine in the darkness. They didn't dispel the darkness. We see the moon and the stars in the darkness of the night, don't we? They have no light of their own selves. But their light is the reflection of the light of the sun, which has all the power, which is light in and of itself. And through the moon and the stars, we can see a little here in this dark world. It also testifies that it's the same light. Even though we can't see that great light of the sun, it is still there. They are the evidences, they are the testimonies that the light which God hath created shines still forth. And it's like that in our lives. We are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. And we live in nature's darkness, in unbelief. We love the things of this world. We love all the pleasures and entertainments and riches of it. And by our own nature, we only live to gain more and obtain more of them. And to enter more deeply into them. That's our nature's darkness, knowing nothing. That after this life, in which we must all die, after this life, there is an eternity. And all the light of this world that it can give us in the enjoyment of our hearts and minds will pass away. And we shall know them no more. And so Solomon, in his wisdom, speaks, doesn't he, of vanity of vanities of this world. All is vanity. Nothing of this world can give us a hope of eternal life. Nothing of this world can give us the light of the knowledge and understanding that we only can obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is testified, isn't he, as the Son of righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. That great light. And oh, how we need to know it, don't we? How we need to know that light within our hearts. It's the one thing needful. And we pray, well, I pray for you. You children especially, and for all of us. That we may come in our daily lives to know the light of the truth as it is in Jesus. Who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. The previous verse of our text, verse 77, says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Then, friends, that's the great desire. The remission of our sins. But until we know what sin is, we shall never pray for the remission of them, the putting away of them. It's the work of God. Now we read, didn't we, of one prophecy concerning light in a dark place. It was a prophecy most mysterious, which was given by God to that wicked man, Balaam. Now, Balaam was not a child of God. He died a sinner. But in his life, the Lord spoke to Balaam the prophecies concerning his people, Israel. And Balaam could only speak what the Lord gave him to speak. And we read in that last words or speech which he gave to Balak, who had called Balaam to curse Israel. He said, didn't he, out of Jacob, a star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter out of Israel. Now that word star, there also, in other places in the Old Testament, is translated prince. And a scepter really testifies of a king. Remember Esther, when she went into the king Ahasuerus, he held out his scepter to her to show that it was peace and she could come. So there was the prophecy, a star and a scepter, a prince and a saviour. It would rise out of the sons of Jacob and of Israel. A prophecy of the coming of Jesus. Now we read also in Matthew's Gospel the time when that prophecy was fulfilled. For we know that whatever was written of Jesus Christ, it would come to pass. Jesus himself said, all that is written of me in the Scriptures, the law and the prophets, oh, it would come to pass. And he testified of it to those two on the Emmaus road after he'd risen from the dead. But again, a great mystery. A star shall rise out of Jacob. And it was the Gentiles. It wasn't Israel. It wasn't the Jews themselves who were shown this star. It was those Gentile men from the east. Now who those men were, we are not sure. The scripture calls them wise men. Well, they were wise, because they'd been given wisdom to know the meaning of this different star they'd suddenly observed. But the word you translated wise men, in another place, is translated sorcerer. One who beguiled people with clever tricks. And like Elymas in the church, when Peter went there and he deceived the people with many clever things, and they thought he had great power. But dear friends, whoever these men were from the east, they were wise men. They could do things in the east which exalted them above others. They were obviously observers of the skies. They observed the stars, the formations thereof. And on one particular day, one particular time, they saw a different star. Now, they probably come across stars which they hadn't seen before many, many times, as astronomers do. But this didn't happen by chance. They were shown, revealed to them by God, the Spirit, that this was a fulfilling of the testimony of the words spoken by Balaam all those hundreds of years earlier. The king of Israel who was born. He who was to be ruler in Israel, the king of Israel, was now born. And they were given by the Spirit of God that zeal, that determination to worship him, to seek unto him. And so they journeyed a long journey. It wasn't a short time. They came all the way to Jerusalem, the capital, as we might say, of Israel, Judea at the time, expecting him to be born, no doubt, in the palace of those who ruled Israel. But they didn't find him there, did they? They were told that the King of Israel, the one who was to come, the Messiah, he was to be born in Bethlehem. And so they began their journey southwards from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And the star which they had seen in the east, they saw it again. It was revealed to them again. And oh, the mystery to follow a star, to come over the exact place of the house where Mary and Jesus was. Yes, stars are used for navigation, aren't they? For those on the sea, the boats, as a general direction. But to actually bring to a particular house, that was the mystery, the power of God. For with him nothing is impossible. They were brought to where Jesus was, and they worshipped him. They fell down at his feet, they worshipped him, and presented unto him the gifts they had brought of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Such gifts as the Jews in the Old Testament used to bring for their peace offerings and their free will offerings to obtain favour with God. They brought these gifts to obtain favour with him who was shown to them to be the King of Israel, the future one who would rule there and would have rule throughout the world. But what a small beginning that was, wasn't it? You know, when they saw that star, we do not know how great a light it was. It was a different star, but it was only a star. It was a testimony of the truth that had been declared. Now, when the Lord begins in our hearts, it may begin in a very small way. A star shining in the dark sky is much less a light than the moon, isn't it? How bright this star was, we do not know, but it was a special star. And it was a star that revealed the testimony of Jesus Christ, born upon this earth to be the saviour of sinners. I thought to put light this way is probably a different thought, but you know, in this world, as we go about our lives, we come across many, many books. You do at school. We do in our studies at college, university, and as we go on in life, there are many, many books, publications we read. But it's wonderful if we have one book which stands out from all the rest, because in it, it declares the truth. As it is in Jesus. It shines, as it were, into our hearts. And we are drawn to it. And to read it. And to find in it the way of salvation. The way to heaven above. A precious book. And as we read it, oh, we come to a certain understanding of the way to heaven. And that understanding, like those wise men, it didn't lead them straight, did it, to where Jesus was. In their own understanding, in their own interpretation, in their own wisdom, they went to Jerusalem, which was the place where they would most obviously find a one who was born king. Now, if we read in the Bible, we're drawn to it as the way to heaven. We may come in it in our own understanding and our own reasoning. And we read the law. And oh, the punishment of sin under the law. And in our own under wisdom and our own understanding, we might consider we've got to live perfectly in accordance with that law to find eternal life in heaven. We come to look and develop our own righteousness, our own goodness, to find favour with God. Now there in our own understanding, although, dear friends, those things are very good, aren't they? We must seek to obey the commands of God. That is not the true way to heaven. We shall not find, we may come near, but we shall not get there. No, sin is mixed with all we do. We shall never be perfect. And so if we trust and depend upon our own works, it will not lead us to heaven above, the way everlasting. But what a mercy if we have come to that, like many of the Jews did. As Paul says, they have a zeal for God, but go about to establish their own righteousness. And Jesus had said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. What a mercy if we are taught that, perhaps through the preaching of the gospel. When you come to chapel, go to church, or you hear the preaching of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the only way, the truth and the life. We can only come unto God the Father by him. And we are pointed, to seek those believing views in Jesus. And not to depend upon our own goodness, our own righteousness. No, we have to come humbly to his feet, pleading forgiveness for our sins. And as we begin to see that light, that light which was in us to start with, which directed us to his holy word, which testifies of Jesus going before us. It's like the light in the Spirit of God leading us to the footstool of God's mercy in Christ, to come exactly where he is. And we come as guilty sinners, confessing our sins. Confessing our sins, that because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we fall before him to worship him and plead for that mercy. We don't bring gold, do we? We don't bring the frankincense and the myrrh. What do we bring? We bring sinful hearts. And as the hymn writer says, it's just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You see, as we come to Jesus, it's not just his birth to see a one who came upon the earth like we are, children, to grow into a man. We come in the beginning to see his ending, his death, the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of sins. We come by faith, looking unto Jesus, and there pleading that we may know his pardon and his peace. Now this is that light. This is now the great light. Not just a little star which has begun in us, which has drawn us and grown and brought us to where we fall before Jesus. This is that great light. As Zechariah prophesied here, through the tender mercy of our God. It's through the Lord's tender mercy that draws us. Through his loving kindness we are compelled, we are shown the truth as it is in Jesus, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. What is that dayspring? That's the sun itself, isn't it? We now come into the glorious light of the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. And if you've got a margin, you'll see against dayspring, it's got in the margin sunrising. The Son of Righteousness, Jesus, arising with healing in his wings. And that's what appears in our hearts. Oh, the love, the redeeming love of Jesus. A great light within dispels all our darkness, opens all our eyes. Oh, we now see the sinfulness of sin and we hate it. And we see the brightness of the love of Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins, and we love it. We love him who first loved us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The promise, wasn't it? It was a prophecy in Isaiah that those who have walked in darkness, as we all are born in darkness, have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, to rule in our hearts, to give the knowledge of the glory of God, yes, his name wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, he is God, the Prince of Peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now this peace is not what we naturally think of peace. We love peace, don't we, in our daily lives, and we have to thank God for our natural, daily, physical peace. Where our needs and comforts are supplied, we have our food, our drink, our homes, our loved ones. We've been 80 years without any warfare. We have a favoured country with harvests, and we've been delivered from great storms and tempests which have wrecked so many other parts of the world. And this is what perhaps we consider to be peace. In one say, in our natural bodies, that is peace. But it's a peace where there is no peace. Because in the midst of all the things of this earth, we have troubles, don't we? We have tribulations. We have difficulties. We have fears. Things don't go right as we would wish. We have tribulations and sorrows and griefs and many pains. But this is an everlasting peace, the way of peace, the way of peace. It's the way to peace. Now that peace is a heavenly peace. It's the peace that is within us through the forgiveness of our sins. A peace that Jesus has borne our sins himself, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. And we can have expectation of heaven above, eternal peace. That word has been on my mind a lot just lately. In Micah, this man, Jesus, shall be the peace. We've just read, we just mentioned, haven't we, his name, the Prince of Peace. Before he died, he said to his disciples, the ones who he had chosen, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. No, he gives his peace, a peace which passes understanding. In this world, we shall have peace, but it's the peace of our soul. That in spite of our many sins, despite of all our temptations, all things in which we perhaps stumble and fall and depart from the ways of God. He is a faithful high priest. He is a faithful sacrifice. He is a faithful Saviour. That all our sins are blotted out through his shed blood. We have pardon sealed and peace with God. And in the midst of our lives, oh, what do we read of? In Paul, who had so many difficulties and troubles as he preached to the Gentiles. He said, you know, he learned in all ways, wherever he was, to be content. That's to be at peace, isn't it? He could do all things through Christ, which strengthened him. Faith in Jesus, who had called him into the way he was going. And his end to be everlasting peace. And so he writes to the Philippian church who had great troubles of their enemies. He said, be careful for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. Be anxious, over anxious for nothing. But with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Not thanksgiving that you're in the great troubles, but thanksgiving that he is with you in the trouble. Because he's a faithful God. He's faithful to the promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said, lo, I am with thee even unto the end of the world. What I have done in blotting out all your transgressions, bestowed my love upon you, nothing can take it away. Oh, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, you have many requests, I'm sure. I trust there for the glory of God and for the blessing of your soul, that even in the things we have need of in daily life, yes, when he supplies answers to our prayers, we give him all the thanks and all the glory. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, the sun rising from on high, this great light of the knowledge of the truth, of the pardoning love of God through Christ, the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Oh, that's a solemn time, isn't it? We may come to a time in great pain of our bodies, or maybe suddenly, the shadow of death. You know, in one way, we're all now in the shadow of death. So many dangers surround us, don't they? When we make our journeys on the busy roads, when we have to go on transport, perhaps to the other side of the world, when we're amongst wicked and evil people, so many murders and so much aggression, isn't there? And then there's the nations who threaten warfare against nations for their bombs and whatever armaments they have. We're all under the shadow of death, aren't we? But upon such are the Lord's people, the light hath shined. It is only but a shadow. If we come to pass through death, as we shall all have to one day, there's that glorious light that is behind it. Oh, Christ died that we may receive the light of the glory of God in his face. And death will just be a passing through that dark shadow unto the light that shines behind it. For a shadow is only there because of a light shining behind the object. Oh, the truth as it is in Jesus. Dear friends, that's what is to be our great desire, isn't it? No greater gift we can receive. You know, when we read the second epistle of Peter, we read him saying this. He refers to the time when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. What was that word? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, the Son of God, he is God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's a Saviour. He's Almighty God. Peter goes on to say, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What's that meaning there? We have a sure word of prophecy. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have the Bible, the Word of God. Whereunto ye do well to take heed, to seek into it, to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it. And that means prayerfully, seeking the Lord to teach you by his Spirit the sacred truths as it is in Jesus. For in through him we have eternal life. Ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. In your natural unbelief and your worldliness and your love of the lust of your flesh, what you want to do, your own self-will. Here there's something greater, a light in a dark place. It's to be a lamp to our feet. It's to be a light to our pathway. To take heed to the word of God until the day dawn. And the day star arise in your hearts. Or when the fullness of that bright light, that sun rising, of the knowledge of Jesus and the forgiveness of your sins arises in your heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, the joy and rejoicing that brings. The day spring from on high, you can say, hath visited us. And to live in the knowledge of that light all the days of your life. In other words, don't forget the Bible. It's a special book. It stands out from all the other books. In it there shines this light of the way of eternal life, the truth as it is in Jesus. Peter says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. No, it wasn't Moses, it wasn't just those who wrote the historical accounts, it wasn't just those who prophesied, such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel and so forth. They didn't do it out of their own heads. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book is of the Spirit of God, testifying of the truth, as it is in Jesus from beginning to ending. At the very beginning, when we mankind sinned, there would be a seed of the woman, a son of the woman, to bruise the serpent's head, Satan, the spirit of evil, and to gain the victory. And we read of that victory, don't we, in the Revelation, where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am he that was dead and am arisen again and am alive forevermore. Gone to prepare a place for all his people in heaven above, having paid the price for sin. Oh, take heed to the holy word as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day spring, a day star arise in your hearts through the tender mercies of our God, your God, my God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, rule our hearts, and may be known in all its power at this season of the year, as we think and meditate and look unto Jesus, who came into the world to save his people from their sins. Amen.